Hello and welcome back to another Pisky Bite, miniature episodes where we explore the folklore, history and legends from across Devon and Cornwall. A big thank you to all of you who've been listening and supporting the series so far, and thank you to those of you who've offered your lovely feedback as well. If you are enjoying these little Pisky Bites, do let me know, give us a like and a subscribe, and if you can spread the word among your friends and family, that'd be great because it really does help. The theme for this episode is something that we've touched on before but haven't really explored in any detail. It's something that crops up quite often when I'm researching, and it's a really common recurring theme, not unique to the Southwest by any means. It actually crops up all over in folklore. But I thought we'd take a quick moment to look at some examples from Cornwall and Devon, some of them quite famous, which explore that classic ghost theme, the Phantom Coach. The Phantom Coach is a real classic when it comes to ghost story folklore, and there are some really famous examples. When we explored the topic of parson ghost layers a few episodes back, we came across a chap called Reverend Dodge over at Talland in southeast Cornwall, and a story which is known as the Spectral Coach. It describes Dodge's encounter with the ghostly driver of a phantom coach led by headless horses up on Blackadon Moor. The Reverend is able to defeat this restless spirit who cries out, "Dodge is come, I must be gone," which seems to have banished the ghost for good. So that's one really famous example. And nearby in Polperro is the story of Battling Billy, which we also mentioned a little bit in the episode on Zephaniah Job. According to the Polperro Heritage Museum and writer Alex Langstone, and I quote, "A local tale tells the story of Battling Billy, a local brandy smuggler who used a hearse to transport his kegs of brandy across the locality, hoping that the customs men wouldn't search a coffin for contraband. He swore that if ever they killed him, his body would still drive the hearse to Polperro, and legend has it that when the revenue men did shoot him, his corpse went on to drive the hearse over the cliffs, despite the gunshot wounds to his neck. Locals say that his spirit still haunts the bay on a windy night." End quote. A couple of examples there from southeast Cornwall. And if you want to know more about Reverend Dodge, then I recommend checking out that Ghost Layers episode if you haven't listened to it already. Moving to mid-Cornwall now, and a place called Pellin House, which is probably not that well known. It's between Llanlivery and Loswithiel. It dates back to the early 17th century, and there's a long tradition of a spectral coach associated with the place. In fact, I found an article in the Newquay Express and Cornwall County Chronicle, dated the 20th of December 1912, where the writer details a friend's account of what they saw. "It was at midnight," she said, "on Christmas Eve, when the moon was full. The same morning, this person was at this time living at Pellin House. She looked out of a window and was surprised to see approaching a coach drawn by two grey horses, which, although coming over the gravelled road, made not the least sound or noise in its approach to the house. At the front door, a footman, who was riding alongside the coachman, got off the box and opened the door of the carriage, and a lady, dressed all in white, descended the granite steps at the entrance to the house and entered the carriage. The footman closed the door and got onto the box seat again by the coachman, who whipped up his horses and drove away by the western gate. My informant sticks to it that she saw the above as described, but I could get no other information as to who the lady is or what gives her a call back to Mother Earth every year at Christmas. I found a little bit more on this in another article from the West Briton in 1986 by Pat Robbins, who writes, and I quote, "At Pellin, a manor house at Lostwithiel, legend has it that when the owner of the house is to die, a phantom carriage drawn by a pair of horses goes up the drive. This was said to have happened in 1917, and the owner of the house died soon after." End quote. That's quite interesting because it puts a slightly different slant on the idea of the spectral coach. In this case, serving perhaps as a sort of family or house death omen. In Nicola Sly's Ghostly Almanac of Devon and Cornwall, she recounts the experience of a man named Clifford Hocking, which happened near Mevagissey. En route from his home in Mevagissey to visit his wife in hospital in Truro, Mr. Hocking was horrified to see a bright red stagecoach pulled by four galloping horses heading directly towards him at speed along the narrow country lane. The driver, who wore a wide-lapelled blue greatcoat, was urging the horses ever faster with his whip, while at his side, a man in a red coat and black hat frantically blew warning blasts on a horn. A collision seemed inevitable, and Mr. Hocking could do little more than brace himself, burying his face in his hands as the coach barreled towards him, aware only of the sounds of the wheels on the lane, the thundering hooves of the horses and the blare of the horn. Mr. Hocking waited for the stagecoach to impact his car. However, the anticipated crash never came. And, as quickly as it had materialized, the stagecoach vanished. Heading off to West Cornwall now, where Margaret Ann Courtney writes in her Cornish Feasts and Folklore, we have now reached the town of Penzance, and through its streets, folks of the last generation often heard rumbling at midnight an old-fashioned coach drawn by headless horses, or saw a procession of coffins slowly wending its way to the churchyard. It was unlucky to meet this, as death was sure soon to follow, and tradition speaks of a woman who accidentally struck against one and died in the same night. Following on from this, I have to take a moment to draw attention to a newspaper article that I found when I was looking into the stories of a phantom coach around Penzance and Newlyn. It comes in the form of a letter to the editor of the Cornishman, dated the 14th of March, 1889, where the person is complaining about the public transport in and around Newlyn. When does the Newlyn omnibus run to Penzance? If I only knew the times when it went, I should give at least 10 times, and probably 20 times, the amount of patronage I am able now to proffer. As it is, people who go to Penzance, not knowing when the bus is likely to start, have to walk when they would prefer to ride, and thereby fail to add funds of the proprietor. There is an old Newlyn legend of a phantom coach, which used to drive at unexpected times, with headless horses, towards Penzance. I do not know if the old tradition is carried on by this modern bus, which goes to Penzance at all sorts of times. So I just wanted to share that with you because that really stood out to me and found it quite amusing. This phantom coach of Newlyn is also mentioned in another article in The Cornishman, also dating to 1889, from a paper read by, and apologies for the pronunciation, the Reverend W.S. Lach Sfeimer, before the Penzance Natural History and Antiquarian Society. It reads, and I quote, I have known an old man in Newlyn who assured me that, when a child, he had heard it dragging its weary weight down the hill and was afraid to look out and see it. So were many Newlyn folks. He assured me that the sound was very like that of a well-laden coach or hearse, so like that he believed to this day in its existence. End quote. In many of these sort of articles, there's more than a hint of a dry, well, cynicism, really, on the part of these Victorian educated types when it comes to local superstitions. heading over towards Wadebridge now, and Peter Underwood in his book Ghosts of Cornwall writes, "Each New Year's Eve at midnight, a phantom coach, drawn by four horses and driven by a headless coachman, is said to gallop through the courtyard of the Molesworth Arms Hotel and out of the hallway. I have been told there are some people who claim to have seen it. Others hear it only and see nothing. Others again hear and see nothing but feel its presence unmistakably." Interesting that we've had a couple of mentions of Christmas time or New Year. I imagine that time of year in the depths of winter has some significance for classic fireside tales. I couldn't tackle the subject of phantom coaches without taking a moment to touch upon the story of Lady Howard's coach from Tavistock in Devon. This one is certainly worthy of its own full-length episode, really. It's very famous and it's often referenced by folklorists. And the history of the real Lady Howard is equally fascinating, but that's for another day, perhaps. Paul White, in his Classic Devon Ghost Stories, gives us this dramatic description, and I quote, "As the clock strikes 12, whatever the weather, fair or foul, Lady Howard drives out of the portal in a coach of bones. They are the bones of her four murdered husbands, and at each corner of the coach, one of their four grinning skulls appears by way of ornament. She drives up West Street towards the moor, and before her runs a coal-black hound all the way to Okehampton, which is her nightly journey, imposed by way of penance for all the woes she wrought in life." The Reverend Sabine Baring Gould refers us to Mrs. Bray's Notes to Fitz of Fitzford from 1828, who wrote of Lady Howard, and I quote, "She bore the reputation of being hard-hearted in her lifetime. For some crimes she had committed, nobody knew what, she was said to be doomed to run in the shape of a hound from the gateway of Fitzford, which is in Tavistock, to Okehampton Park, between the hours of midnight and cock-crowing, and to return with a single blade of grass in her mouth to the place whence she had started. And this she was to do until every blade was picked, when the world would be at an end." End quote. So that's very similar to that story we talked about of Wild Harris and Castle and Dynas, that picking endless blades of grass. Note that in this version, Lady Howard herself takes on this form of the black ghostly hound. In other versions, she's herself and she's sat in the carriage. In some versions, the coach is driven by a headless coachman as well. Baring Gould mentions that in the version that he was told as a child, Lady Howard's coach actually went nightly from Okehampton Castle to Launceston Castle in a black coach driven by a headless horseman and led by a fire-breathing black hound, and that if the coach stopped at a door, there was sure to be a death inside. He says that there was a ballad written about it, which he pieces together from certain fragments, and it became quite well known. Here's a little extract from it. "My lady hath a sable coach, and horses two and four. My lady hath a black blood hound that runneth on before. My lady's coach hath nodding plumes, the driver hath no head. My lady is an ashen white, as one that long is dead." So there you have it, a few examples of the phantom coach from across Cornwall and West Devon. That's it for this Pisky Bite. I hope you enjoyed it, and we'll be back again very soon. Thanks for listening.